There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, hello and welcome to Stronghold Radio. This is me. I'm Dutch Jones. Well, it's just a name I use. I don't really exist. I'm just a voice shouting to you from the modern day wilderness around the modern electronic campfire. We don't have a Liberty Tree anymore to nail these things to. We don't have the committees of correspondence, so we're using the Internet. That's what we're doing. The Internet is what we use. And, folks, we try to do this every day to bring you the militant Christian worldview, and everybody's going, what do you mean militant? I got to move my microphone around here. Hang on. I got my headphones on sideways. Is that right? No. Here we go. Okay. Everybody was saying, what's with those wackos up there at Camp Kawea? Well, we're not wackos. The rest of the people in America left the basic church. Churches around the founding of this nation's great revolution for independence, church, Baptists, everybody, they were all like us. Our church never changed. We stand in the same stream bed of thought as the great pastors of that period. So we're not the ones that are, what's the word I'm looking for, that have left the church. The church has left us, and that's fine. Free will, you guys do what you got to do. You go over there, you can be a bunch of pansy Christians sitting on your hands, turning the other cheek while your daughter's being dragged into the street by hoodle dudes and you don't want to do anything about it. That's fine. That's your right. I pray for your children and your wives. But the chickification of the church didn't reach our church. So the emails that I get, it's funny. It's like last month we had 10,000 listeners. This month we've only got about 1,500. I think I made a lot of people mad last month. We had a lot of Christians dipping in and going, oh, the world's coming to an end. We better go listen to some Christian militant radio or some survivalist radio or militia radio. And they didn't like what they heard because it was convicting. Man, last night was a great show, wasn't it? Pastor talking about corporate churches, about how this nation was really set up, what the real separation of church and state means. Last night on Practical Christianity here in the second hour. Now, I'm not sure if Liberty Tree Radio carried our show. I don't know. We didn't see him in there, so I don't know if he carried it. I don't know if they're mad at me or
I don't see why they would.
I don't know, but I don't want to go into it. I don't talk about that kind of stuff on the radio specifically, but I don't know if we offended some people. I got a little bit out there and how I was responding to living in fear. We don't live in fear here at the Church at Kawea. We don't do anything illegal, nor do we do anything unlawful. We're just about protecting innocent blood, protecting our loved ones. We are not going to be what's it say? A man who doesn't protect his own household is no better than a what?
Infidel.
Infidel. That's right, Lou. Good, Lou. Lou doesn't have a mic today, but Lou gets 2 points for that one. We're not infidels here. We're not kafirs. We're not going to allow our families to be overrun by any evil force. We don't care who it is. You can't say, oh, those guys up there, they're anti-government, because we're not anti-government. You know what we are? We're pro-good government. We're pro-godly Christian government. We're not anti anything. We're just pro us, and we're not at the exclusion of others. You know, people. I keep getting these things like, you're just a bunch of racist teabaggers. Well, that's not the voice they use. It's not the rednecks doing that. You're just a bunch of racist teabaggers up there, and you're part of the problem because you're not metropolitan like the rest of us. No, I don't even like the Tea Party. And I know that offends a lot of people because I think they're just a bunch of soccer moms and NASCAR dads that are easily distracted, and they're worried about their pocketbook, and they're screaming about taxes, which is fine. You can scream about taxes and everything, but that's not the solution. Lower taxes does not a great nation make. So I'm not a Tea Party person. I take umbrage over the term teabagger anyway. That's latent sodomite right there. Anybody who uses those kind of terms is probably a limp-wristed, left-leaning weenie anyway. And they shouldn't be using terms like that to apply to a church. They just don't get it. And then I get the other people that are folks that are involved in the movement are like, you guys are training. Shh, you should go live in a cave somewhere with 1,000,000 pounds of MREs and water filters. That's what you should do. You shouldn't be training out in the open. You shouldn't be doing outreach. Oh no, the sky is falling. May 21st, the end of the world. No, we're not like that either. We're just even-keeled, middle-of-the-road Christians that do it the same way that your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents did it up until about 100 years ago. After the War of Northern Aggression about, churches started to change because the federal government took over churches and started teaching people that Romans 13 meant complete obedience to whatever authority there is. Okay, so let's all obey Hitler. Let's all obey Stalin. You're getting the short course here. I'm just doing this because I got a lot of email that I was looking at. In fact, I deleted a lot of it because I was just like, oh, I don't want to listen to this. Attacks on my person. How dare you? I can tell you the honest truth. The guy you're hearing on the radio here, you have no idea who I am. So to make personal attacks on me by the information you get 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, if we do a whole week straight through, it just says more about you than it does about me. It's not about me. It's about the issues. It's about pushing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ, the king that sits on the throne now, not after some big end times battle, none of that stuff. We don't get into that. For one, it's like, what difference does it make what you or I do? It's God's plan, and God's going to do what God's going to do. So we just keep doing what we're doing. And I got to do that at the beginning of every show now because I'm noticing a lot of people are going, oh, no, you know, I can't believe you're talking about these things and you're saying, oh, people say because I say, oh, bongo, I'm a racist. And I go, no, it's just a funny way of making fun of a guy. You've got to respect the office. Oh, I have all the respect in the world for the office, but the buffoons that take office. I made fun of Bush, too. I called him Jorge Boucher. Does that, I don't know what you would say it was with that, but because he was a white guy, I wasn't racist. Now that we got a guy in there that's an illegal alien from another country, I'm suddenly racist. People who whip out, oh, you haters over there. You're a bunch of haters on the right. No. You know, you don't even understand the kind of hate that I have. I have a righteous hate, a slow-burning hate. I hate things that are anti-God. I hate things that are anti-Jesus Christ. I hate the same things God hates. I hate the sin and love the sinner when it calls for it, but I also hate the sinner when he's a stupid, blind idiot that's hurting people. I don't sit here and go, oh, well, we've just got to embrace everybody. These folks, I get a little story. I actually went on Steve Klein's television show last night for about, 15 minutes? I called in. I wasn't on the show because he's down in L.A. But it goes out to several million people over Arab TV, ATV, which goes out over satellite. And they're blocking it in some countries, but people get it, you know, over the Internet and stuff like that. So I talked. I'm estimating that my voice went out to about 2.2 Arab viewers. A majority of them were probably Muslim. A small percentage were probably Christian. I was speaking to the Christians because I was just like, you know, stop whining, stop complaining. Because I listened. I was on hold, and I got to hear probably five people call from the Mideast that were watching the show over satellite. And they're like, oh, Mr. Klein, you must get Hillary Clinton and the UN to come help us. We are being slaughtered here. 2.2 million. What did I say? Yeah, 2.2 people. It's like 2.5 men, but less. Thanks, Lou. It was 2.2 million they claimed that they reach. But these people were saying, oh, and I'm like, who would call for Hillary to help them? All due respect, you called the UN, and they're the only good at one thing, killing Christians. Did you forget about the Balkans War? Did you forget about the war in Kosovo? You know, the Clintons do not have a good record on defending the innocent. Nope. So I said, that's ridiculous. Then he's like, oh, send us money and arms. I'm like, dude, it's your own country. And God bless you Christians. What do we decide to call them? Sons and daughters of the pharaohs that are Christians? That's what we call our brothers and sisters over there, sons and daughters of the pharaohs that follow Christ. And that's kind of cool. They call themselves that. And they're fighting Islam. Worse than we could ever imagine is going on here. The horrible things that I hear coming from North Africa, the Sudan, those kind of places. And they're like, oh, what do we do? You must come and help me. And that's one of the biggest problems with modern Christianity. They tell everybody, oh, you can't do anything for yourself. You can't take up arms. Thou shalt not kill. And it's not true. It's thou shalt not commit murder. Of course, you guys know that. But last night I was on there and I was trying to share that, and I was talking. I was sharing the stuff from what the pastor was saying earlier on the air on our network on Stronghold Radio with Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Kimball. Make sure you listen to it every Thursday night right here on all these stations and all these outlets, CB, Ham, 2 Meter, Pod People. Well, Pod People can listen to whatever they want. And I said, and I don't know where this came to me. Lou says it was from an episode of The Simpsons, but I said, grab a pillowcase and fill it with doorknobs. Get 4 or 5 guys with pointed sticks. Raid a... people in the Middle East, people in the Arab nations have gardens, right? Go get garden implements. Grab a shovel. 5 or 6 guys, hunt down 1 or 2 guys with AK-47s that are killing Christians and kill them. Kill them. Stop them. Take their weapons. You do this enough, everybody will have their own AK-47. And then I went into the thing and I said, if they're burning down your churches in Egypt, go burn down some mosques. And then the other thing was, and if you can't do it in Egypt, leave. There is nothing wrong with the biblical doctrine of flight, but there is something wrong with the biblical doctrine of whining and begging other people to fight your battles. And Steve had said it earlier while I was on hold. He says, all of you Muslims that are in Tunisia, Libya, all of you Christians that are complaining about the Muslims killing you, go to the Sudan. Go to the southern Sudan where they have seceded and started a Christian nation. Find Peter Hammond. Find the people down there that are forming a new nation. There is nothing wrong with the biblical doctrine of flight. What about all the people that are going to Montana and Alaska right now, Idaho that we know? There is nothing wrong with them doing that. There's nothing wrong with Chuck Baldwin pulling up roots from his church in, was it Coral Gables, Florida, something like that? Down in Florida and moving his entire family to Montana. There is nothing wrong with that. Going to where God leads you to put up a better fight. Now, that you're going to say, you're sitting right there in the armpit of the world, the capital of vileness, California. Well, not all California is the same. I live in the redneck portion of California. Yeah, there's sodomites here and liberals, and we fight it out in the local elections, and it all usually ends up 50-50. But you stand where God calls you to stand. And don't be a martyr. I hate these people. Well, God has called us to be martyrs. No. God, you don't know that. Only God calls martyrs. You don't declare yourself a martyr. That's like saying, hey, I'm a this or I'm a that. You've got to go through some stuff before you get to be that. You know, there are great martyrs. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. God bless them for what they did. But sometimes you've got to stand and fight. And unfortunately, it seems like people are more willing to allow their children and their wives to be sacrificed in the name of passivity than to stand up and fight. And Christianity is not about that. It's about love. It's about Judeo, you know, not Judeo, I hate using that word. Christian love. I had a tongue slip there. Christian love is Christian love. Agape love is the word I was looking for. And the fulfillment of agape love is to defend your family to the fullest extent of your abilities. You know, you look at these great people that resisted Adolf Hitler. My ancestors, the Dutch and Holland, if there's, you know, I don't know how many of them are still there. Most of them ended up in South Africa, but resisting the law. Oh, no, Christians breaking the law. Breaking the law. I had a bunch of people saying all Christians should obey the speed limit and seatbelt laws. Okay, first of all, we only obey the laws that are just and righteous. That's what Romans 13 is all about. I'm going to another church on Monday. We're taking the little group here, and a government stooge is coming to Gateway. Is it Gateway Baptist or Gateway? It's Gateway Baptist, isn't it? In the town of Visalia, and they got a government stooge coming out, and he's going to be talking to him about how FEMA's going to help them, what FEMA's going to do for them. Now, you guys know my view on that. You know, we took some hard hats, backpacks, and vests from them, but that's about it. But they're reaching out to churches now real big time. You know why? They want to disarm you. They want the pastors to convince you to not pull another Katrina where, you know, neighborhoods armed themselves. So Romans 13 is going to be pushed a lot. And if that's what this government stooge is going to do, I'm going to stand up. And I'm not a member of their church, but they're inviting other people outside. I'll be polite about it. I'll be like, really, why is that? What are you basing that on? Why would you come to clergy and ask them to do this? And what they won't, I won't tell them until I have to, that I'm an ex-FEMA employee, that I was an emergency services officer. And I'll say, you're telling everybody to have 3 days' supply of food, but isn't that a joke? I mean, how long did it take you to get resources into Katrina? How long did it take FEMA to get resources into Haiti? Northridge quake, how long did it take to get resources into the Landers quake? And I'll say, well, I worked there, and I know how long it took because I was on the boards planning the disaster preparedness with these communities. And you've got to stand in the gap. You got to stand at the city gates. Now, you got to remember, you hear me say that. A lot of people say, what do you mean stand at the gates? Well, in the old cities, in the Old Testament, that's where the seniors, the fathers of the cities would sit and decide things. The judges would sit. Remember the book of Judges? They would sit in the city gates, and people would come to them, and they would say, hey, this guy ripped me off and this, and they would get decisions. So when I say go stand in the city gates, that means to have a civil duty to help rule and lead your community. Now, you know I'm not big on voting in national elections, and I differ with the pastor on that. He's not sitting next to me, but I just acted like he was. I just, like, alluded, leaned. Lou, you can be the pastor right now. And Lou over here is the – but I think act locally only is the only thing we're going to win at. But if our pastor decided to run for state office again, you know, I'd be out there supporting him. If he went to run for president, I'd be supporting him. If Chuck Baldwin ran for president again, I'd be supporting him. Maybe Ron Paul. I don't know. Ron Paul still disappoints me that he stays within the Republican Party, but I'm not gonna bend over backwards and say, hey, if you don't vote, you can't complain. I don't do that. You know, vote locally. I go to the people. I talk to the county board of supervisors. I go to the town hall meetings. I have a say in what I see around me is going right or going wrong, and then we take action. Just like we didn't like the way that they pulled our ambulance. They staffed our fire engine in our little mountain community to one, and he can't leave until the volunteers show up. And they cut us. We only have one deputy, which I think is fantastic. I don't want a lot of government intervention in my community. So you know what we did? We started training civilians how to do triage. We're just going to start teaching people how to do disaster preparedness. We got a fire truck. I forgot to ask the pastor if that was our fire truck driving up the mountain today. I doubt it was. He would have called me. But any day now, we're supposed to get the delivery of our fire truck that we got at auction. We had a benefactor went in and bought it for us at auction. And we're gonna take care of ourselves. You know, and we're going to tell the magistrate, we're going to go to the county board of supervisors and say, hey, you know, you cut us back, we'll take care of it. People don't have to receive our fire service. They don't have to let us come in and patch them up. But we're here. We're the local militia. But we can't use the word militia because you know why? They'll download in their little loafers, but we'll just say, look, we're a local whatever. Like the sheriff has his posse. Like, why don't you guys join the posse? Well, we don't want to. That's not our structure. We're through our church. We're like a militia. But we went to everybody and showed them the definition of militia. Showed them historically that our counties had militias. They don't want to do it. So we're just going to do it on our own. And people are out there saying, oh, you're doing too much. They're going to come and kill you. You're going to be the next Waco, the next Tutari. I don't think so, but if they do, does that mean we don't act? Does that mean we don't try? I'd love to see the spin on that. United States government steps in and squishes a bunch of guys who are trying to put out a fire for their neighbor. I just don't see that happening. You know, federal authorities today raided a little church that was training people to do disaster triage. Now, granted, we also are doing the other stuff, defending ourselves, maintaining our rights of the Second Amendment, but more importantly, Luke 22:36, and our God-given right to self-defense and our duty to protect the innocent. They may come on that route, but the church has been doing this since 1963. When Waco happened, when Ruby Ridge happened, our pastors went to those places. When the sheriffs or the federal government turned off the water in Klamath Falls, our militia went there. I wasn't here then. We've been on the radar screen, but the difference is we do things a little differently. We're not wackos. We're not crazies. We don't condone destructive device training. We don't condone the harming of innocent people or the hunting of law enforcement officers. We're completely defensive. We're completely defensive. And that's the difference, I think. And that's why, like, if you go to our YouTube page, I'm like, we don't condone any other militia. We don't condone any other group. We're just doing our own thing. Because, you know, it's not even our own thing. It's God's thing. We remain coram Deo. And I read that to you guys yesterday, what coram Deo means. We stay in the face of God. What time have I got here? That's only been 19 minutes. My opening diatribe didn't fill the whole half hour, Lou. Are you messing with time and space again? I see you have duct tape. I know you can make a time machine with duct tape, Lou. Oh man. Let me see here. But folks, I just I hope that's getting through to you. I think there needs to be some clarification once in a while because people go, oh no, and so that's what we think. Ooh, I'm getting all these militias now that are listening that are asking me for my friendship. That's cool. Let me do this here. Southeast Missouri Citizens Militia. Thank you for listening. Let me put that up there. Yeah, well, thank you, Warren, for being in the chat room. Everybody else is just listening on the side. I'm too hot of a commodity. They don't want to sign in. Oh, it's also Friday.
I see freedom's
there. You know what? It's Friday, Stace. People have got lives. It's beautiful out here. We don't have lives.
Oh,
this is our life. Reaching and preaching and teaching. And I'm not a preacher, but, you know, I facilitate those that are. Let's see here. Where'd this one go to? Little Dwayne. Not Little Dwayne. I should have said that. Dwayne, our listener in Lemoore, is listening. I don't know how he hears it. I think he hears it over Facebook or the embed or something like that. Okay. Anyway, let me get back to this. Dun, dun, dun. I've got some weird news for you here. Oh, there's something you guys need to know. We're getting radiation from Japan is turning up in our milk at the grocery stores here in California. I don't drink that much milk anyway, but I don't know if any of you that get milk like off your goats or anything, if you have a way of checking it, but it's turning up in our milk and some of our food products here on the coast.
Are they selling that?
Yeah, it's the stuff they're selling in the store, Stace. And so it's popping up and people are getting it. And oh, no, it's not. Oh, wait, I'm not on my page. That's why I'm all confused. I'm on somebody else's page. I was like, I didn't post that. Let's see here. Let's see. Most of this stuff, I think I covered a lot of it yesterday. Let's see here. I don't think I have anything new in the news. If you guys have got anything new in the news, you can call in. The phone number is 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. Lou's turning the box that I have the phone number written on. And we are hooked up. You can talk about this or anything else. I got off the phone just before going on the air, Mr. Larry Wick from Split Second Survival. We're going to have him on the show. I thought about doing it today and asking him since I had him, but he was kind of busy. And plus, I just wasn't ready. I need to do something. After what happened last week, my head's not completely clear. but I want to get him on the show to explain how, from what we see in the videos, that you guys have all gone to his website and you guys have gone out and sought out his stuff, what he's teaching now and what's new, and we're getting ready for our May 20th class. I had said that there was like a 25-person limit. He says we can go a little bit higher because we've got to cover this guy's airfare, guys. If you've thought about it and you haven't checked in with me yet, you need to contact me through the email, dutch@dutchjones.info, dutch@dutchjones.info, and you have to get your $150 in ASAP. ASAP, because as we're getting down to the wire, I think I just counted and I was just talking to the pastor, we got like 23 or 24 people that are definite. And then there's like, you know how there's this nebulous group that I was like, yeah, we'll train with you. You know, and maybe two of them show up. So we've got the 25, I'm pretty sure, certain of it. We still got to talk to a couple of our neighbors that have trained with us in the past, especially the guys that came. Lou, remember the Magic Serbiak's class on knife fighting? I really want to get a bunch of those guys, like the Bakersfield Militia. And who else was there? The two docs, the two dentists. They took the class because I think it's going to be a neat little twist. Because as we were talking about on the phone with Larry Wick, he says, this isn't going to get you thrown in jail. You do the stuff that we learned, you know, a knife in each hand. It was 18 cuts in how many seconds? Come on, Lou.
I can do only three.
You can do, Lou can do the 18 or nine cuts?
Nine.
Lou can do nine cuts in 3 seconds. Okay, so you cut the guy's carotid, his brachial, his femoral, his kidney, yeah, that's the femoral right there. He doesn't remember the names, but he remembers. He's like, right here, I'll cut you right here, and he's showing me. And you do those nine cuts, and let's say the guy's just a regular dude on the street wearing a shirt and jeans, and you cut him in every one of those, and you're standing before a jury, you know, you're going to be, why did you cut every major artery in the man's body, Lou? Don't say he was provoking me either, Lou. You're going to go to prison. Especially if you're here in California. And I'm not knocking Magic Serbiax. What's the name of it? ATAC Academy that came in? Great stuff. But that was for combat. That was combat-oriented. That was high-end, high-order, you know, UCMJ, Geneva Convention, But what we want to do is teach our little old ladies, our moms, what to do when some idiot grabs them. And it's like, you know, but I got my firearm. Okay. I put Lou with it, one of his machetes, what do you call that, the Gurkha curry, at 20 feet away, and you go for your concealed weapon and see what happens. You wouldn't have a hand. Lou would be picking your pistol up while you're rolling around on the ground going, owie, 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 owie. Don't count on chariots. Don't count on horses. Don't have faith in those things. Don't count on your weapon. Your mind is your greatest tool in self-defense and survival. That's what it's the most complex organ that the Lord gave you. And let me tell you something. If you don't know how to use it, you're your own worst enemy. So this is for when you made a mistake and it's on and you have nothing else to do. And I can't even share with you the stuff he's going to teach us because I haven't seen it yet because it sounds like it's just recently been developed. I am so excited about this class. I mean, from the Aikido, the Arnis, what else have I studied? The World War II stuff. Yeah, just and then the stuff I grew up doing, Kempo that I studied in the Army. It's all going out the window. I'm going to just go in there tabla rasa. Huh? Kop Fu, all the stuff I learned when I was in law enforcement. Kop Fu. This guy, Larry Wick, has even got an entire system. I don't even know what to call it. For healthcare professionals.
Respect.
And the initials stand for something. And I want to talk to him about that, but I need to study it a little bit before I get him on the air. I want to be able to do a good interview with this guy. And I want to do it before the class, hopefully that some of you listeners that can make it out can come in. Remember, like I said, you can camp on our facility. We'll do like we did in the last training, the last conference. We'll clean the floor and you can sleep on our floor. You know, we're cluttered people, okay? Stacy and I are a perfect match. You're going to see us on that TV show Hoarders when we're old. But it's going to be like M16 mags. I know. Yeah, but it's all stuff we need.
Yeah, I know.
We're not like keeping little umbrellas from drinks that we've had. I might have a whole case of Sporks hidden somewhere.
Old newspapers.
No old newspapers unless we're keeping them for kindling.
TV
no TV guides. But, you know, we're going to have a case of Firestarter. We're going to have, you know,
that's
parachute cord. That's what you're going to find in our house. But we'll move it around. You can sleep on the floor in front of the stove. It's going to be warm. May 20th is going to be very warm and beautiful here. You'll be able to sleep on the ground at night. And it's not like the other martial arts classes or other fighting classes or other things we train. You're not going to be sore at night from this, I don't think. You know, I can't guarantee that, but it's not going to be like we're going to, you know, chase you all over the mountainside with airsoft like we usually do or flip you and throw you around the training area. Yeah, we're not going to Aikido you. Lou wants to Aikido everybody. Yeah, we've got an offer from Sensei Tan to go take a free Aikido lesson, Lou and I. And I want to go do it. He's like this 5'5". Yeah, I'm going to have him throw you around the room, Stace. He can't throw me. I'm a stroke patient. I'm going to milk this stroke thing. By the way, guys, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I am almost completely recovered from what happened just over a week and a day ago. No, more than that. See, I can't remember. Okay, folks, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back after the break. You're listening to Stronghold Radio from Camp Kauia. I am the Dutch Jones, and we'll be talking about more stuff when we come back, and I'll give the phone number out again if you want to call. Otherwise, it's just a mellow, mellow Friday night. I know we'll get a bunch of downloads on this show because the people come back after doing whatever vile things they do. They like to listen to me to feel better. I get these things, I missed it because I was at the bar, but I listened to the download. Okay, pod people, you sinful pod people. Okay, you sin with beer, I sin with a hamburger. Did grandma decide what we're going to be eating? You guys, what's for dinner? She was trying to get me a big cheeseburger. I think your mom wants to kill me, Stace. I'm like, I can't eat cheeseburgers. She's mad at me. I can't eat cheeseburgers anymore. We'll be back after the break. I am Dutch Jones, and remember, it's not about me. It's all about you.
And the sun will always shine on the old Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. March along with the fight for boys, we were born forever free. Let's go pay the piper, boys, beneath the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Pay the price they're asking, boys, always pay the tyrant's fee. Never give. give up the struggle, boys, fight for the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Stand for the rights of man, boys, stand against all tyranny. Hang the lance of freedom, boys, high on the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. It will grow as we grow, boys, it will be as strong as we. We must cling to our faith, boys, faith in the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Dokie dokie, we're back. I am Dutch Jones. You're listening to Stronghold Radio coming to you from Camp Kawea, Commonwealth of Kawea. We're about, I don't know, 5 or 6 miles south of the front gates from Sequoia National Park. We're at only 1,000 feet, but I can see 15,000 feet peaks from here. There's still snow everywhere, even though it's 80 degrees today. Not on the ground, of course, but as a crow flies. And we're back, and we're bringing you the militant Christian worldview. We are not racial separatists. We are simply Christian separatists, meaning, no, we're not pulling out of society. There's a difference. A Christian Puritan thinks he can purify the system from within. We've given up on that. We're pulling out, and we're going to start anew and try and change the system from outside by being an example and a refuge for those that are tired of it. I'm getting pops. Are you hitting something? That's me. Hmm? Yes, I'm on the air, Stace.
We'll talk on the next break.
No, I can't wait till the next break. What's for dinner?
We can get rice at Panda Express.
Oh, Panda Express with orange chicken. No, just white rice with chicken. Yeah, white rice with chicken. Either the Mongolian chicken, you guys get to hear my order on the air, or orange chicken. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I can have. I'm almost maxed out on my calories for the day. That's right, I'm watching my girlish figure. I'm on an 1,800 calorie a day diet. I'm going to get into shape. When May 20th rolls around, I'm going to have me a six pack of Dr. Pepper. I can't even have Dr. Pepper anymore. Not that I ever liked it, but you know. You hate Dr. Pepper? Huh. What was I talking about? What was I talking about before Mom came in? See, there is still some stroke problems here. I'm forgetting what I'm doing. I knew it was popping, and I was asking, hey, why is this microphone popping? I wish you guys could see my microphone stand. We forgot the microphone stand. So I've got this, like, I don't know, it's a car cleaning reacher. That's what the sound is. It's moving. I've duct taped the microphone to, like, this pot scrubber thing, and it's falling down slowly. So I apologize for the popping. Break off some more... What's that called? What's that item? Duct tape. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about, man. I'm sorry, guys. I am so sorry. I'm not doing the meds. I'm doing prayers, not pills. I'm not taking Coumadin. So my goal is to get into shape. We're going to the gym Monday. I'm going to the VA's version The VA's version of the fat, what is it called? Fat Watchers?
Yeah, I guess.
And Stacy's going with me, guys.
Yeah.
They let spouses go in for here, Lou. Look at you. Give me the duct tape. Come here and hold my microphone. Stand up.
Yeah,
hold it up.
You,
yeah, you got to hold it up. Look what he did. Kid just ruined my duct tape here. I was like, okay.
Hey,
that's going to pull off all
no!
your hair now.
Oh.
hold this up. Hold it up. We got to do some in battle repairs here, because Lou doesn't know how to use duct tape. Watch this. How is that so hard?
Enzyme.
Okay, move your hand.
Web enzyme.
Web enzyme?
I don't know how to say that.
Oh, somebody's talking about something I can use. Yeah, I'm doing prayers, not pills. I'm not taking the Coumadin. I'm not going to be part of, you know, rat poison.
Ow!
Here, remove some of that. Remove some of that monobrow too with that duct tape.
I don't have a monobrow.
No, because I keep working on it when you're asleep. But I plan to be in shape, going to the gym, doing more, just hitting it again. I mean, what's weird is I was getting into shape when the stroke hit. I was modifying my diet, going out and doing stuff, and it's weed eating season, so I get to do more of that. But anymore, back to the Larry Wick stuff. Actually, my pastor got me Wobenzym, and I got to get it from him. And then there's coconut oil people are telling me about. There's all kinds of stuff out there. It's still moving. It's going to keep going down. It'll just keep leaning down like this as the microphone falls. But this Larry Wick thing is something that you want to be part of. You don't want to miss out on it. We've got a Lou put together a little teaser. If you, you know, just send me an email and say, hey, Lou, send me this teaser of the kind of stuff that he does. But be advised that the stuff that his lawyers won't let him put on discs is the stuff we're going to be learning. And he says it's going to be amazing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a hoot, you know, and I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't looked forward to training of like this since I went to sniper school back in the Army because I had to fight to get that. they wouldn't just let you go, especially as an MP. But I was doing my best to contain myself when I was on the phone with Mr. Wick. You know, I didn't want to sound like a little schoolgirl going, ooh, Larry, I can't wait for you to come up here.
Which one
of
you?
Who?
Like
Lou wasn't on the phone, so it had to be me. But somebody asked over the break, what kind of safety gear? Just bring yourself. What are you going to be, you know, you're not going to be wearing safety gear walking down the street when, you know, when Billy Bob jumps out from an alley and decides to take your wallet or molest your wife or Hector the illegal alien decides to take your car. You know, it's just, it's, you know, so you, it's like Lou says, you wear unsafety gear. And the other thing he told us is that we don't train. He's not going to, he says, what kind of training stuff do you have? And I said, oh, we got a great big orange AR-15. We've got all this stuff. He says, but you don't need it. Hello, you're live on the Dutch Jones radio program.
Hi, Dutch, this is Warland.
Warland, I can never remember the 530 area code. I always think it's the president calling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to enter your name in my phone it just so that way I know it's you. So, Warland, what's up? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, well, I'm not sure of anything in the end here. What do we got? We got a lot.
Well, we're talking about training. We're talking about, I was just basically talking about training. So you're thinking about coming down for this Larry Wick thing, maybe?
I would really like to, but right now I got to make sure my mom's doing okay.
You know, that's...
Right now she's been having breathing problems.
For those of you who don't remember, Warland's mom, who you said was, what, 83?
83, yeah.
Had a stroke a few weeks ago, so it seems to be stroke season. Mine was nowhere near as bad as hers. Mine was just annoying. So, but you said she's not getting better, but she's not getting worse.
Right. Now, I'm just... making sure she's stable and everything is going smooth. So,
yeah,
it looks good right now, but we'll see.
Right. Good. Well, just let us know. We'll come get you at the train station, whatever you need to do, or if you're going to drive down, we get you directions. And you've got a place to stay. You can sleep in. We've got a room full of dolls and toys that my daughters usually, and you can sleep in there. Yeah, as long as you don't play with their Barbies, I think you'll be okay.
No problem.
So, is there anything going on up there in Chico State we need to know about?
Nothing lately. Everything's been pretty cool. The air traffic has kind of slacked off lately. I haven't seen many helicopters flying around. And I have other people who are also on Facebook that have been, you know, seeing any unusual air traffic around here. So I was going to introduce you to a...
I hate to admit it, but I've been staying inside, even as beautiful it was the last 2 days. I've been on the computer doing stuff, reading, and I've been obeying my VA doctor. They said the convalesce is the word of the week. And so I've been taking it easy. And when I did get outside, I was like, oh. And then we've got business here in Fresno tomorrow. We're actually not at Camp Kauai. I was being deceptive. We're in Sanger. We're at a Motel 6 somewhere off the freeway. I don't know where we are.
We're on Pluto.
Yeah. So it's been beautiful out. I saw yesterday when we were driving, I did see some chemtrails way up there. You guys know I've been slowly swaying into that camp. I used to say I didn't think there was anything to it, but, you know, we've been seeing a lot of illness, a lot of weirdness, a lot of radiation. I told you about my brothers getting 65 and 70s up there in Colorado for no reason at all.
Wow.
This was even before the Japanese thing went on. So I've got kind of a theory that I think that maybe they're using the Japanese as a screen for them to do some kind of releases and testing of maybe some stuff. Because I read today, and here's something we can talk about, in Germany from Chernobyl 25 years ago, the wild boar population, like 4 or 5% of them are still showing residual radiation, and they think they will for another 30 years. So whenever a hunter kills a wild boar that shows up with radiation, he has to get paid by the state for the damaged meat. Isn't that something for a social welfare system? You go out and go out and get money shooting radioactive pigs.
Blowing pigs.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I used to have a contact who lived in Lithuania. We used to chat a lot, and she told me that during Chernobyl that the cloud drifted right over Lithuania.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Over a million people died from that.
I actually had a friend from college. It was an exchange student. Go ahead and bring your hand, because I was in the Army when it happened. That was over there in Belgium, and she broke out with mumps the same day that happened. So they thought she had radiation poisoning. But yeah, it's nasty over there, and you know, and they're saying, well, this Japanese thing is nowhere near as bad as Chernobyl. And I don't know.
I don't believe
anything they're telling us, to be honest with you. And
well, actually, Jeff Rentz has been having some really good guests on his show lately. He had a really good guy last night talking about the radioactivity levels around the stricken plant. He says there's one reactor that has melted down, and there are two more that are just right on the edge of melting down.
Well, and the exclusion area keeps getting bigger, too. And what they're not saying is that the half-life on that stuff is so great that they are never, ever, ever going to get back into that area. Those villages that have been covered in it are gone.
The next quarter million years, maybe it might jump open. That's about how long I believe the half-life of that is supposed to last, like 200,000 years.
Yeah, depending on... Yeah, some things, like, they're telling us that the Chernobyl, one of the radiations that turned up in this pig, the thing I read, is only 30 years. I don't believe that. You know, they're making it sound like it's acceptable, and that was kind of what my theory was, is that they're taking advantage of this. I know people think that HARP triggered the tsunami and stuff. I'm not ready to get there yet. I'm not quite intellectually ready to accept that any man or any group of people have the power to do that, but okay. But they're exploiting this to kind of see what they can do with the already existing background radiation to have us all go, oh, it's nothing really bad. It's only like 3,000 chest x-rays.
Yeah, all at once.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, a chest x-ray only lasts for, a few seconds while they're doing it? But this is a constant exposure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I remember from my NBC training, at one rapid blast is not as dangerous as low-level consistent exposure over time.
Right.
So it's actually worse to have low-level every day than it is to be in an area where, boom, it hits. You know, unless, of course, it fries you, but that's it.
Yeah, they're slowly being cooked.
And what we're going to see is, and I honestly believe this, generational drop in IQ in Japan, generational drop in health, you know, in life expectancy, and it's going to go on and on and on and on. And they're just trying to make it sound like it's no big deal. And, of course, the other side, now everybody's saying we need to get rid of nukes everywhere. We've got that plant down in San Luis Obispo. I don't know if you remember that. They found out the other day that some of the backup systems so that it wouldn't what happened in Japan wouldn't happen here. Some subcontractor went in and disconnected them all, and they've been down for weeks, and nobody knew it. So all the backup generators. What's the name of the El Diablo? Diablo Canyon, is that the name of it?
Yeah. Yeah, Diablo Canyon.
I was reading in the paper last night or yesterday that some contractor just disconnected the power to all the backup systems. So now the people around it are just furious, and they're saying, hey, man, we got to get this thing taken offline. If this is the kind of oversight you have, we don't want it. Because I was a big proponent of nuclear. I really was, because I don't live near a nuclear plant. I did as a kid. It was like the Platte River nuclear power generating plant, and it used helium as a coolant. And when I lived in Colorado, and every once in a while they'd release helium, and you could see the sky glowing over it. And I don't know if that was a visual illusion, but we would see that in Colorado. And I remember going on tours there as a kid, and they got into my head, hey, this is great, it's healthy, it's easy. But now if you look at it, it's in Fort St. Vrain is the name of it in Colorado. Fort St. Vrain is the name of the plant. And they use helium as a coolant. And the clusters of leukemia, MS, and all these other things are all around it now because it's been there for 45 years or longer. So now I'm starting to rethink, just like I'm rethinking the chemtrail thing, I'm thinking, you know what, maybe this whole nuke thing isn't the answer either. So it can't be good.
Supposed to be, well, part of the chemtrail chemistry makeup is supposed to be barium.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard. Yeah, and barium is a nuclear material.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably spraying nuclear material, you know, along with the other chemtrail components on us. It's a toxic cocktail of different stuff. So.
Well, that could be why my brother's getting those back. I mean, the lowest I saw it, because honestly I was only looking since the quake, the lowest level for where my brother lives was 25, I guess you call them rads. I don't know what the term is for what I was looking at. And it was amazing because we're nine where we are right now, right where we're sitting. Just a few blocks from us is one that's online, and it's like nine. And I'm like, why is Colorado always so high? Well, then you think about it. They got plutonium, uranium, weapons plants. They got all kinds of stuff going on there, plus the elevation may have something to do with it. And even if you do the plus or minus 12 for margin of error, you know, my brother's like, hey, you know, he's asking me all this stuff. He says, well, we've been, you know, really sick to our stomach since this has started happening and all that. And I'm like, well, it could be something local. It may have nothing to do with Japan. You know, they may just be spraying barium or something, you know, in the air, and they're using it as cover. They're saying, hey, it's Japan's fault.
Right. What no good catastrophe.
Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel's quote.
Yeah, don't let it go unexploited, you know. So I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, part of me thinks, you know, the concentrations, you know, we've had these discussions before, but it's just weird. Everybody got sick at the church at the same time after we saw heavy chemtrail activity over our church. And there's no flight patterns over us because it's a national park. But where did it come from? So I contacted somebody I knew in the Navy, a lieutenant commander. He goes, oh, no, we're not allowed to fly over that. Neither are commercial airliners. We have to avoid those areas because they're, you know, protected biospheres, which is funny because he buys into that. But it was like, okay, but I saw – we literally had a jet circling above us. And I said, who could that be? And I explained, I told him, I said, he goes, it wasn't the Navy, it wasn't commercial. I don't know if you remember that a few months ago. Even the local sheriff was like, who is that? What are they doing? And it's bizarre stuff. So I don't put it past them. If they have the technology, I know that they would be doing it for mass experimentation or sedation or just to see what happens. You know, hey, let's get rid of these chemicals over here to see, because it could have unintended consequences like we were talking about. They could be trying to get the drought over, and instead they cripple everybody.
Yeah, it's a form of chemical dumping.
Well, they've got out here in Kettleman City, they got a large chemical dump out there, and they've had something like, in the last 7 years, like 16 kids in this little town born with cleft palates. I'm exaggerating. I think it's maybe 7 or 8. And they did this big study, and they just came and said, oh, it has nothing to do with the chemical waste dump 2 miles out of town. But yet, this town of like 2,000 people, all these babies are being born with cleft palates. It goes, I mean, even Vegas wouldn't bet on stuff. You know, they'd be like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. What are the odds of a small town getting all these cleft palates? And now they're going to expand the chemical dump out at Kettleman City. So they need to get rid of this waste, and they don't know what to do with it. So you're right. Maybe, you know, it's fiscally feasible but socially irresponsible to just stick it in the fuel or even just put it in, you know, because some of this stuff is commercial airlines that I see these big trails coming out of and just hanging there. So they may not even know they're doing it. It could be fuel additives. I told you about her name was Suzanne Michaels, a news reporter from El Paso. I believe it was CBS. I had mentioned to her that this stuff was going on back in the 90s, and I was just curious. She was a news reporter. I said, could you do something about it? So she put out bowls of water on her back porch when she saw chemtrail activity in El Paso. She collected it, took it to the university there, and didn't tell them what it was, and they found barium, lithium, all kinds of stuff in there. And then when she told them what it was, they got all upset with her for being deceptive. But she did the report on it, saying this isn't what's normally found in jet fuel. Why is it, you know, why is this coming off a commercial aircraft flying over my house? It should be kerosene. Because jet fuel is what? Kerosene. Am I right, guys? I mean, that's
right.
from what my research has shown. I lived next to March and Norton Air Force Base both, and every time the B-52s would take off or the C-5As, I smelled kerosene. And I didn't see huge, weird, puffy, white chemtrails coming out of them. It was black exhaust.
Yeah, it's usually, exactly.
You know, and they would inject water into it and all kinds of stuff, I heard. I've flown in C-5As doing videos for the California Air National Guard refueling unit down in Moreno Valley at March Air Force Base. There were not chemtrails coming up.
Freedom says JPS fuel. Yes,
JP-8,
right.
JP-8, yeah, JP-8. That's what they said.
JP-8.
I fuel in a refueler over the Indian Ocean doing a training video for the National Guard 15 years ago, and there were not chemtrails coming off those jets that we were refueling. So I don't know how they explain this. When I was a kid, I found pictures of my childhood. The sky is clear in all my childhood pictures. And I lived not far from the flight path of Denver International Airport. The planes back then didn't do that. Now, maybe, granted, in all fairness, formulas for fuel have changed back then. Maybe then they just ran pure kerosene, JP-8. I remember that's what I heard about in the Army. We used to put a dye in it in the Army because people would steal it and put it in their cars or something, and we would have carburetor checks to see if this purple dye would show up or blue dye because people were stealing jet fuel and mixing it in with their fuel. I don't know if it makes your car go faster, but additives make the fuel more than just diesel. Yeah, see, I don't know. What is supposed to be in jet fuel, but the stuff they're finding in it is weird. I wouldn't put it past them to be getting rid of certain or even just flushing an area with radioactive isotopes so that the real dangerous stuff doesn't get
absolutely,
seen.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up when there's a leak.
In fact, I remember there was a case in Minnesota where radioactive isotopes were dropped on schools.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've got a history of it. We know what they did to the Tuskegee students, those black guys they injected with venereal disease just to see what it would do. They're releasing flu bugs in New York subways during the Cold War to get the epidemiology to see how fast a bug would spread across America. And why do you think every doctor asks you all those ridiculous questions? You go in because you got a nail in your thumb, but they ask you 1,000 other questions about your general health because every day those statistics get collected by the Center for Disease Control and annotated and collected, and they grind them up and they look at them. And you can go look at how many people had strep throat, how many people had symptoms of this, you know. They're collecting the data where it's a giant petri dish. And the whole globe, that's what it is to them, and they just want to see what it does. It's just like putting fluoride in the water. Fluoride spills on you in an industrial zone, it'll eat through your pants. But fluoride's in the water. Now, when I was
fluoride's horrible.
Yeah, it was a byproduct from the manufacture of aluminum, and they had to come up with a way to use it, so now they say it's great for you. Fortunately, those of us that are smart enough to live off wells don't get it.
Well, the Nazis actually used to use fluoride in the concentration camps to keep the prisoners from rioting and rebelling.
It's a sedative.
So they had high doses of fluoride in the water, which kept kept them doped up.
Yeah, it's a sedative. And, you know, why not? I remember we were doing after 9/11 when I was at FEMA, we were tasked with doing all these drills and tabletops. So we went to right around Lake Elsinore. There was a water treatment plant right off the freeway there. And we went there and we were discussing all this stuff. And they have these fluorescent dyes that they put into the systems to look for leaks. 5-gallon buckets of dye and they dissipate. And I said, well, don't your customers freak out? And they said, well, 5 gallons isn't enough to do anything. It just stays in the plant, and the people at home wouldn't get it. And I said, well, how much would it take of this dye before the people in the town of Lake Elsinore or the city of Paris would start calling you and saying my shower head is luminescent green or blue or whatever it was? And they said it would take about a truckload of it, a big truckload to do it. So then, of course, we discussed, well, what about contaminants? And they're like, oh, all they have to do is go somewhere outside the water treatment plant. It's a matter of public record where all the water lines are. You just call Underground Service Alert. They'll tell you where they're at if you don't want to do the research yourself. Tap into it and start dumping truckloads of contaminants in, and we could poison entire populations. So I think it would be really easy to do it through the water, easier than the air, but maybe it's a binary weapon. You know, maybe it's a binary test they're doing where it combines with air and water and food, all three, and then they get you. So,
right.
I mean, they're already talking about raising the retirement age. What better way to control that? That's like when Social Security first came into effect. You know, not Social Security, excuse me. Retirement ages, it was in the military. They raised it so high that nobody would live that long. You know, so that would save them some money there. If people don't make it to 65 or 68 or whatever they want it to be now, what better way to do it than manipulate the population's lifespan? You know, some could argue we're just shaving a few years off.
Well, we're talking about just, you know, pure bad math here. I mean, they put the death rate on the standard normal curve.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're familiar with the standard normal curve. I mean,
right.
The basic concept of it, and that's what they've done, and they're going to make it come true no matter what.
Yeah, well, that goes back to, and people say, well, you guys are crazy talking about this. Go to the Georgia Guidestones. They want the population at 500 million globally, so it's easy for the power elites to manage it. If I were them, I'd be the same way, too. I don't want a bunch of great unwashed. They could grab all they got to do is go get a pillow sack and some doorknobs, and we're done. So we got to keep the numbers down, keep them mellow, keep them sick. It's just like we just watched The Island of Dr. Moreau, and it was a really bad movie. But it's a good thing we were watching.
Which version?
The newest one with Val Kilmer in it. And the other version would be good, would be like all these Jurassic Park movies. Oh, these creatures could never do us any harm. They can never reproduce because we've engineered them to need lipazine or whatever. I'm just making up a word. They did the same thing on the Island of Dr. Moreau. Everybody had to have their shots every week or they'd die, so they couldn't leave the island. But the government could do the same thing to us. Okay, let's give them this need for a drug. We all need, you know, let's give them all these things, and then they have to go every week for high blood pressure pills, diabetic treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. If it weren't for the VA, I'd probably be dead because I don't have a financial means to go get all these meds that I'm taking. You know, I haven't worked a real job in 2 years, and I didn't have insurance 5 years ago. It was the last time I worked someplace that offered insurance. So, but yet they say, okay, you got to take this, you got to take that. And the minute society falls apart, what happens to all the fat guys like me? If let's say I was insulin dependent, I got to find a way to make insulin. You know,
right? That's
and I'm not saying they gave me diabetes. I gave myself diabetes by eating too much steak, you know, and potatoes. You know, I own that sin. But whole populations, they could be doing that too to manipulate them. You know, it's just like a bunch of cattle. You know, let's just make the cows do what we want them to do, and you know, we'll manipulate them to get the most work out of them. So I'm not beyond that. I'm not at all beyond that. Wow. See, I'm glad you called in, Warren. This last half hour went really fast. We got about a minute here before the music plays. I don't think I'm going
to... Oh, yeah, it did.
I'm not going to do a second hour today, so if you guys would stick around, and if... Because last night, Liberty Tree Radio never jumped in. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're mad at me or something, but they didn't... As far as I know, they may have been a guest. But if they stick around, just tell them to play this hour, and if they want to. And we'll be back. We're not going to have a show Monday, because Monday I'm going to go to that church that's meeting with the government official to talk about disaster preparedness. I can't wait to see what they say. So,
I'd love to be in on that.
Yeah, I'll give you guys a report Tuesday for that first hour on Tuesday, let you know what's going on. Don't forget, we got Code 20 coming up Tuesday with Steve Klein. And next weekend, which is the 9th of April, we have Code 20 training here. If you're interested in taking part in that, give me an email, dutchjones@dutchjones.info. Lou looked at me. You're messing it up again. Yeah, I know. I mess up all the time. Dutch@dutchjones.info. You can email me. You guys have got the phone number. I've given it out. I carry my phone everywhere I go. You can call me. Just don't call me at 3 in the morning. Only my daughter and my family can call me at 3 in the morning. So, Warland, thank you for calling in. We're praying for your mom. I hope she does get better. We're glad she's not getting any worse. So I can see what
you're doing. Yes, thank you, Dutch.
You're welcome. And
more prayers for you, too.
Thank you. Your prayers are working. Prayers, not pills. My stroke is almost as if it didn't happen. I went to the doctor today, and they're like going to do more MRIs and stuff because they can't believe I'm not having any residual damage other than just a little bit of numbness. So, folks, we will be back Tuesday, not Monday, unless something changes. Just remember that the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, and victory belongs to the Lord. Good day, Warlin, and good day the rest of you.
Good night, though.
Good night. Oh, sorry, I hung up on you. I thought you were already gone. I looked down, and I thought you were already gone. So, folks, we'll be back. Tuesday. Good night.